What does getting married entail? I imagine lots of planning, stress, and crazy women running around trying to get things done. But when the ceremony is complete, the newlywed spouse's relationship toward the other is completely changed from when they were dating. They become so much closer than they ever were. Not only does their relationship get stronger, but they inherit relationships of other family members, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. In the same way that this newlywed couple's relationships change, our relationship with God and the world are recreated when we are baptized into Christ. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 28:19. In this verse, it talks about the Great Commission. But I want to look at it in a little bit different area. It's Matthew 28:19. It reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." I want to take a closer look at one word in this verse. That word is "in." In the New American Standard Version, the word is translated "into." The expression "into" in this verse indicates that we are being born into relationships with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through baptism. In the same way that you're not married until you say "I do," you aren't a Christian until you're baptized. Once you become baptized, though, your relationship with the world changes. You're saying to the world, "I used to be in you. Now I am in God and in a relationship with God." Because we're in this relationship with God, our relationship with the world must weaken. It must grow faint. And that's the first point I want us to make today. Our relationship with the world grows faint because we as Christians are brought out of darkness when we are baptized. In Acts 26:18, the Bible says, "We are to turn from darkness into the light, from the power of Satan to God, that we may receive forgiveness." Darkness is the world. We are the light. We're supposed to be different, those going against the crowd. Romans 12:2 says that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed from it. Colossians 1:13 says that we are delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness is sin, and sin is powerful. Because God separates us from the rest of the world by delivering us out of the darkness, we must act differently. Because our relationship with the world weakens, we need to change the way we act sometimes. In Galatians 3:27, it reads, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ," that's the relationship there, "have put on Christ." When you put your clothes on in the morning and you walk throughout your everyday life, who sees what you're wearing? The people that see what you're wearing is everyone who looks at you. If we are to put on Christ, who needs to be seeing us? We're wearing Him. He needs to be reflected by our actions. We cannot be carrying on this life of sin if we're reflecting Him. We are to walk in a newness of life, as it says in Romans 6:4. Because we're trying to put the worldliness away and striving to do as God says, sometimes that means we need to change the people we hang out with. Proverbs 12:26 says that the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. We need to be careful who we hang out with and the friends that we choose, because evil company corrupts good habits, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Though this relationship with the world changes, there are other relationships that we get from being baptized. We inherit a relationship in God's family. Like the newlywed couple, we inherit brothers and sisters. Romans 12:5 says, "We are one body in Christ and members of one another." The relationships that we gain are those of brotherly and sisterly love. Do you know how many verses there are with the phrase "one another"? There's a ton. In this family, we love one another, 1 John 4:7. And we are able to confess our trespasses and pray for one another, James 5:16. Because we inherit these relationships so close, it often gives us someone to talk to. Let me give you an example of this kind of relationship. Paul and Timothy became so close in relationship through God. Are you aware that Timothy is called Paul's son, or referred to him as Paul's son, because they were so close 4 times in the Bible, in the letters written to Timothy? Do any of you have answer uncles that biologically aren't your answer uncles? I have, 8 or 12. It's just, you call them aunt or uncle because your relationship toward them is so strong that you think of them as your aunt or your uncle. Those kinds of relationships are the kinds of relationships we inherit in God's body. We don't just get great friends, though. We get friends that want to get us to heaven. Friends that we can grow in spirit with. In Acts 2, verses 42 and 46, we see these Christians fellowshipping and growing in faith together. In Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, it describes it as fellowshipping in the gospel. The relationship we have with our brothers and sisters is so strong that they want us to go to heaven. What's better than that? Let me tell you what's better than that. The greatest change in relationship that we get when we're fully immersed in Christ is the relationship that we get with God. We get this father-son relationship that is so, so strong. Before we put on Christ in baptism, we're like orphans with nowhere to go, no family to come home to. But when we're baptized into Christ, this father-son relationship appears. What does a loving father typically do for his son or his children? He takes care of them. Almost the entire end of the chapter, end of the chapter 6 in Matthew, it talks about how God cares for us. Let's take a look at it. I just want to point out a few things in Matthew 6 and a few verses there are. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, it reads, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father cares for them and feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Go down to 28. "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" In these verses, it talks about how much he cares for the birds. He doesn't let them go hungry. How much he cares for the lilies and the grass of the field, and they are clothed. But you know what? It says that he cares for you more. He will go to no end in order to clothe you, in order to keep you fed. That's how much he cares. He cares so much that he gave us a way to talk to him. In Philippians 4:6, it says that we are to make our requests known to him. That father-son relationship is so strong. Not only with this father-son relationship we get with God, do we get to talk to him, and do we know that he cares for us, but we understand how his love is unending, unceasing. In 1 John 4:7, we read how God is love, and love is of God. God loves us so much that he gave his only son for us and our sins so that we may one day be in heaven with him. In Hebrews 8:12, it says that he will remember our sins no more, like they were never even there. Young people, have you ever been disobedient to your parents? Parents, don't answer this because I know it's not true. No one has ever been disobedient to you. But if your children were to be disobedient to you, would you forgive them? Of course you would. You would forgive them because your love for them is so strong that whatever they did to bring down that trust you have with them, however they disobeyed, you care for them so much, you love them so much that it outweighs what they could have done wrong. Granted, there may have been some punishment in there, but you forgave them. In the same way, God forgives us, every single Christian, of their sins. That's the relationship we have with God. What is your relationship with the world like? What about with God? Do you yet have relationships in God's family? If you're a Christian, have your relationships changed? If not, if you're not a Christian, wouldn't you love to be in a father-son relationship like this? He will wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. And you will receive the crown of life, Revelations 2:10. What's better than that?